Welcome to On to Perfection, the radio ministry of Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. We are delighted that you joined us for today's broadcast. Our prayer is for the Word of God to transform you into the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, while simultaneously causing you to triumph everywhere the soles of your feet shall tread. Now let's get into the Word with Apostle Trevor Banks.
Covenant of the hedge. How important it is for us to keep the Word of God in our mouth. There was a progression when God spoke to Joshua. He said, "Let not the book of this law depart out of your mouth, but meditate in it day and night." The occult has taken that word meditate and twisted it to you saying om or just getting into some deep emptiness. But the meditate that God is speaking about is activating with your voice. It's important that you say something. Look at someone, tell them, say something. There's a progression. He said, keep it in your mouth. Then, he said, meditate day and night, then shall you prosper and have good success. It's a progression. Where I think many children of God make mistakes, and I know I've made these mistakes too. In Hebrews, it talks about we must be mindful not to let these things slip. You know, you can get away from things because you don't feel it, you don't see it. You know, you get distracted with other things and you leave things off and then you gravitate or you decline to another frequency. Let me paint you a picture before we go into the Word tonight of the importance of you keeping the Word in your mouth. Understand that the universe is governed by laws. The kingdom of God is governed by laws, spiritual laws. We are given keys. But I said this last week. Keys open doors, right? You've been given the keys, but the doors are entryways into rooms that your keys are not creating. Your keys are just opening. The room's already there. God's already done this. It's a finished work. Amen. The keys don't create the room. They just open the door to the room. Look at someone telling me, I'm already blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm. Now here, I want you to catch this and remember this. Picture yourself in the courtroom, all right? Here's the judge, and you're on the witness stand, and you've got a prosecuting attorney over here. It's trying to trip you up, trying to paint a bad picture, trying to make you, you know, look bad and be guilty. And then you have your defense lawyer. Now, today you testify. And you say, Lord, Your Honor, he is the one. I know he's the one. There's no mistake about it. I swear on a stack of Bibles. All right, you say that today. They put you on the stand tomorrow. Well, you know, on second thought, I don't know if that's him or not. What did you just do? In that court of law, your testimony went. Well, what about your confession? Today you're saying you're on the mountaintop. Tomorrow you ain't feeling nothing, so you're talking all down. Now you're talking all poor mouth and sad and defeated. So in that courtroom where laws govern, how you think you're going to come out? You ain't got enough evidence for a verdict. And the devil will take that legally because of what you said. And every day, you know, how often do people, when something happens, they allow their emotions and they blurt out stuff? Well, I'm just telling the truth. Well, you just did something in the spirit realm because it's law. Laws don't change. You jump off the roof, gravity ain't going to change for you. And gravity don't hate you either. Gravity ain't disliking you. It's just gravity. And so when you start talking like that, think again of the courtroom. Because there's an accuser. There's one that's trying to pull you off your testimony. Because he knows if you speak it, amen, not only do angels, but the whole government of heaven is backing you. But have you enough evidence? Let me segue into this, because let's talk about Bartimaeus for a minute, if that's all right. Because we're going to talk about what I've entitled tonight, and this is part of the Goshen series, the oil economy. Amen. You know, in the world today, everything's about oil. Wars are fought over oil. People go in unilaterally, I guess they call it, for oil. Greed, oil. You know, we were coming from Ohio. I don't know if we were in West Virginia or where, but whoever was driving with you probably saw that long train that had all those coal cars. The coal miners, you know, did that train, car after car after car after car full of coal. Yeah, it's what the nation runs off of, you know, that fossil fuel. And well, now they're getting these electrical cars. And eventually, you know, the fossil fuel will not be as necessary. And everything will be electrical. Eventually, machines will take over in a lot of areas. And we're going to get into something I want to talk about tonight, because there's going to come a time where money's no good. It's going to come a time when money fails. And I'm going to show you in the scripture the type, the parallel, okay? But what's wonderful about the Lord is he always prepares us not to survive, but to thrive. Not to just get through, but to be preserved. So let's take a look at Bartimaeus here for a moment. In Mark chapter 10, the Gospel of Mark chapter 10, and let's start at verse 46. They came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, somebody say blind. God spoke, eventually we're going to do a message, I believe, entitled Legally Blind. Now that title says a lot, right? They're legally blind. Because there are many that are blind to the legalities. How the laws that govern the spirit. Because crying a whole lot ain't gonna change no laws. Now, I'm not knocking your crying, you know, because people feel deeply and they weep. God bottles up tears, but it don't change laws. Amen. Right? Laws are laws. So Bartimaeus, they came to Jericho. They went out of Jericho. His disciples, a great number of people. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Now, we looked at that covenant authority he exercised, right? That's one aspect of this whole portion of scripture here. He called him son of David. And that immediately arrested God's attention because he was calling from a position of covenant. He knew his right. It says here, and many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. Verse 50 says, and he casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Now, I want to pause there for a moment. It's something very, very important that we observe here about Bartimaeus and what he did in casting away his garment. He got the word that Jesus called him. He was still blind. There was no certainty. There was, you know, it was something on his part that he did. He cast off his garment. Now, ancient history would have it, during this time, beggars like Bartimaeus, his cloak, many theologians say that it was of a bright color, so that you could identify him. You know how when a blind person walks with a cane, it's a white and red cane, so you know, and his sight is impaired, and so people know that. The coat that he had not only identified him as a beggar or as a blind man, that coat represented his financial position. You see, what blind people would do with that coat, they would lay that coat out and people would throw coins on it. That same coat was what kept him warm at night, because I'm sure he slept on the streets. So that coat didn't just represent his blindness, but it represented his financial position. It represented his life. Everything about him was represented in that coat. That coat gave him legal right to be in the position he was in, being blind.
Have you ever felt like God was calling you higher? Higher than routine, higher than religion, higher than just going through the motions. In The Rise of the Remnant, Apostle Trevor Banks Sr. helps you discover how to leave behind the weight of hypocrisy, distraction, and doubt, and rise into the fullness of God's grace, using the very skies above us, from the troposphere to the stratosphere. Apostle Trevor Banks shows us what it means to grow in faith, to push past obstacles, and to live as the authentic you. This is a call to transformation, a call to go deeper, a call to rise. Don't settle for surface living. Be part of the remnant God is raising up. The Rise of the Remnant by Apostle Trevor Banks. Available now wherever books are sold.
Thank you for listening to On to Perfection. If you would like to order today's message, or if you want more information about our church, contact us at 772-465-0036. For updates on ministries and other events, visit our website at www.reslifefl.com. That's www.reslifefl.com. And remember, God will perfect that which concerns you.